He is the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm glad to be here tonight. Praise our God. Oh, it's good to sing his praise. It's so good to know that we've been redeemed, that his blood has made salvation possible for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we can, oh, yes, we can cling to that blood. Oh, yes. Oh, that blood that is applied in our hearts. Praise the Lord Jesus. Our God did such wonderful things on our behalf and still continues. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. We thank him for salvation. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to start here tonight in prayer and ask God to have his way. Praise the Lord. And we thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, God, we know that there is none like unto thee. Thou art mighty to help us, Lord. Oh, God, you made a way, Lord, that we could come to thee. We could turn our lives over to thee. Lord, oh, God, that blood would be applied to our hearts. And God, I just pray, oh, Lord, that she would talk to us tonight. I pray, oh, God, that you'd speak, oh, Lord, your words of life unto us, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that the devil would be rebuked, Lord, that you teach us, Lord, oh, God, to apply thy blood, Lord. Oh, God, to go forward, to believe you in faith, to hold tight to those things which are true, Lord Jesus. I pray that you work here tonight, God. I pray that you talk to every heart. Oh, God, I pray that you deliver to the utmost, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that your spirit would flow, Lord. For here we are tonight, oh, God, to sing thy praises. Oh, God, to hear thy word. Oh, God, to grow in thee, Lord Jesus, to get ready for the day of the Lord. Oh, God, to have our lamps trimmed and burning. Oh, God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, oh, Lord, that you teach us how to pray, that you teach us how to watch. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help us to be vigilant. Oh, Lord, to serve you with all our hearts, with great fervency, Lord. Oh, God, to get ready for that day when you come, Lord. For you are coming as a thief in the night, oh, Lord. And, oh, God, how we must be ready for that moment, Lord. I pray that you would talk, that you'd prepare us, God. Oh, God, that you'd use these words for thy kingdom and for thy glory, Lord. Oh, God, I can do nothing without you, Lord. I ask that you'd have your way, Lord, that you'd use this message. Oh, God, that you'd speak to us, Lord. Oh, God, and help us, Lord. Help us to draw nigh to thee with all our hearts. Oh, God, to give everything over to thee, Lord. In Jesus' name, let the devil be bound. Let him be cast out. Let him have no power over your people, Lord. Give us great victory in our hearts and in our souls, in our minds. Oh, God, help us to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy and know that nothing shall by any means hurt us. Oh, praise the Lord. You give your church authority, Lord. Oh, God, and here we are tonight. Oh, God, to claim thy promises and to go forward to walk with you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe we're going to be studying the 13th chapter of the book of Mark here tonight. But as we begin here, I'm just going to mention a few things. I'm going to call this message, Watch Ye Therefore. And oh my, as we think of that word, it's one that's very common to us. So, you know, we know what it's like to watch so often. But, you know, if we want to take a definition, I want to give a definition as to look and wait expectantly with anticipation. Praise the Lord. To look and wait expectantly with anticipation. And of course, so my, the one that we're watching for, the one that we're waiting for, is our Lord and Savior, the same Jesus that left this earth, who promised that he would return. And praise the Lord, we don't know the day of his return, but oh my, how we can feel it right now as we see the things that are coming upon the face of this earth. Amen. Oh my. We have a great reason to be watching for our Lord. Amen. Things that have developed even this past year. We saw so many things that we've never seen before. And, oh, yes, as we anticipate our Lord's return, we see what is coming to pass on the face of this earth. Before I go to Mark, the 13th chapter, I just want to turn here in the book of Revelation for a couple verses here, a few verses. If we can just look here at Revelation 9 here for a moment. Praise our God. Praise our Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Revelation 9, and starting with verse 13, it says, "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone, and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor their thefts." Well, praise the Lord. I can't say that I know precisely what this indicates or how this will take place, but note it's the sixth angel, the sixth trumpet that's sounding, and there are four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates that are loosed at this point, and it's in preparation for a feat that must be done before the return of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just turn to the 16th chapter here, the book of Revelation. And by the way, it's interesting that number of the army of the horsemen, 200,000,000. I believe that's 200 million. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's a vast army. Praise the Lord. Looking here at Revelation, the 6th chapter that we read in chapter 9, pertain to the trumpets. And here we have the vials that are being poured out upon the earth. And note here in verse 12 here in Revelation 16. "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." Oh my, so praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've been thinking about this portion of scripture from time to time as we've seen so many things develop in this world. I know Sister Shirley, you forwarded that message to me today and concerning Chinese that had bought a great portion of land in Texas, 200 square miles of land near a major military base. And I had heard of that a little earlier too. It's quite interesting. I know they did it very underhandedly. it was not a Chinese individual that made this, you know, the purchase. At least it didn't appear to be. It was, you know, through other means that they went for this property and acquired it. So it was done secretly and behind the back, so to speak. In other words, the sellers did not realize that they were selling 200 square miles of land in Texas to Chinese. And quite something here. And of course, I know Brother Samuel wrote in his newsletter how the Chinese have a goal. And their goal is to become the world superpower. And they're not talking about being a superpower, but they want to be the superpower. They want to eliminate competition. And of course, we know how they, you know, allow that outbreak of what we have known as COVID-19 upon the world. And oh my, we see the consequences of that. And all I can think is, you know, as we read this portion of scripture from Revelation 16, I don't know everything that this indicates, but oh my, I always have thought that the drying up of the Euphrates River indicated that the kings of the East would be preparing to take over the world, so to speak. It would be their means of coming forward and, you know, coming from the east and going west to assume power that they desire greatly. And so we see all these things coming to pass. And, you know, I also note that what we read there in the ninth chapter of Revelation was the sixth trumpet. And here in Revelation 16, we have the sixth vial, which also tells me that these occurrences are very, you know, shortly before the Lord Jesus returns. So interesting. As I set the setting for this message here tonight, I just can't help but ponder this. There's much I don't know at the moment, and you know, we're seeing things unfold. And I do believe the scripture, as things come to pass, will become clearer and more apparent as it's literally unfolding before our very eyes. But here we are. We're in these last times. And all I know, Jesus talked a lot about these end times. And as he told us to prepare and know what these things might indicate, these times might indicate, we are told that we must watch, that we must watch and we must be ready. And as I defined that word watch, to look and wait expectantly with anticipation, I think it is time for us to realize that the coming of our Lord and Savior draweth nigh. It's not a time to be complacent. It's not a time to be lukewarm. It's not a time to look back. It's time to give heed to the gospel like never before. It's time to give our hearts to the Lord like never before and go forward and do the first works. Oh, yes. That fervency, that love for our Savior would be burning deeply in our beings. That, oh, we would not be found lukewarm. That we would not be found cold. But, oh, that fire, that first love would be burning in our hearts. Despite these evil times when the enemy is working overtime to devour whomsoever he can. But praise the Lord, we have the Word of God and how it speaks to our hearts. Oh, yes, and how it is speaking right now and telling us to get ready to have our lamps trimmed and burning and extra oil. Oh, yes, because, oh my, one of these days, one of these moments, our Lord is going to come and it's going to be over. Amen. Amen. Praise our God. Amen. Let's go to Mark chapter 13 now. Praise the Lord. See how the Lord might lead us here tonight. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 1, and of course, let me just remark that Mark 13 goes along well with Matthew 24 and Luke 21. So all of these chapters, these three Gospels, all talk about this subject, and you know, of course, it's expressed just a little bit differently in each of them, but wow, they sure do indicate the things that God will do on this earth and has done too, because some of this is in past tense also. Praise the Lord. Some of this has already happened. Amen. So it tells us here, as we begin here, and as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones in what buildings are here. And of course, yeah, they're looking at the temple, and it was majestic. It was huge. It, you know, it was something to behold, indeed. And you know, you could see, you know, the great stones and you know, the great feat that, you know, was accomplished to build it and all the other buildings there that accompanied it. And it tells us, you know, as this exclamation was made here, and Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And let me just mention, of course, this is in reference to the temple, and yes, they were beholding it, and you know, this must have been pretty shocking, you know, for, you know, as they were admiring it, those that had made this comment initially, and you know, for Jesus to say, you know, you see it? There's not going to be one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And so it tells us in verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And I know Brother Samuel has mentioned that, you know, the Jews, in their perspective, felt like once, you know, the temple was gone, that the world would be over. And you know, that would be the end of the world. So, you know, Jesus is also going to expose the time of the end of the world. But, you know, in the meantime, you know, they asked these things about the temple, when it would be that one stone would not be left upon another. It would all be thrown down. So they were asking, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Jesus began to talk. And as he did, he said in verse 5, And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And here we have a word that I think is very descriptive and important, the word being deceive. And I think that is a word that we need to be very concerned with even at this point, because deception is a major factor at the end of the world. To be deceived means to cause to believe that which is not true, to be misled, to be beguiled. And the thing about being deceived, if you're deceived, you're not aware of it. You know, you've been gullible in one way or the other, and you perceive something that isn't true. You believe something that perhaps was mainstream. Maybe the newspapers were reporting it and it sounded maybe even legitimate, perhaps. But you believed it and it wasn't true. And therefore you are deceived. Well, Jesus is warning that there was a need to take heed, lest any man deceive you. He goes on to tell that there's going to be many that are going to come in his name, and they're going to say, I am Christ. And obviously, people would believe that and accept it and embrace it and therefore be deceived. So that would be an indicator. That would be something that would be telling. That would be something that would be expected after he left this world. And then he goes on to tell us other things that would be evident after he left. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. So he's telling them, you're going to hear wars, you're going to hear rumors of wars, but don't let it upset you. Don't let it trouble you. These things must be. They must needs be. But it doesn't indicate the end yet. And then he went on to describe another scenario. He said in verse 8, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. So other indicators that would take place. And here he is warning them. These are, you know, things that they needed to know. But he's talking about nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We saw this kind of process during the world wars, where literally there were nations rising against nations. And throughout the course of history, we've seen kingdoms rise against kingdoms. That has been something that's been ongoing in this world. And then he mentions earthquakes in diverse places. In other words, in diverse places, even strange places. And then he talks about famines and troubles, and, you know, such as they are. But, you know, he says these are the beginning of sorrows. And then he goes on to forewarn them all the more. He says in verse 9, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And of course, some of this happened even in the time of the book of Acts. We know that Paul testified before Felix and Festus and Agrippa. Oh yes, he went before Caesar. And you know, all of this, I'm sure he's not the only one that testified before rulers and kings. And of course, another detail he considers that we should consider here is that he talked about those in synagogues would beat them. And you know, that's quite the point too, because, you know, it indicates that even Jewish people would bring forth persecution for the Christians, amen. And that his people would be delivered up to councils. But the Lord knows how to work all these things, because it says, for my sake, for a testimony against them. So even when they would bring us before such, in a form of persecution, yet we know that the Lord is able to get glory from that. And oh yes, he gives us a testimony. Who's to know all that will be affected and have been affected by those that have gone through such already in this world? Amen. And then there's another detail that he brings forth here. Verse 10 says, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. And this too is very important to know. I know in the 24th chapter of Matthew, it's also brought out, and it explains it just maybe with a little more detail in Matthew 24. Verse 14 here, Matthew 24, verse 14 tells us, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And I think this is very telling here. We know that Paul reached the known world in his time period, but yet, you know, we're living beyond that. And there still are people that need to be reached for the kingdom of God's sake. Amen. And it tells us here that it's going to be necessary for all the world to be testified to, that there has to be a witness that comes forth unto all nations. And once that is accomplished, it tells us there, the last part of verse 14 here in Matthew 24, and then shall the end come. So you see how this relates to our present time. I think if we might just turn over to Revelation 14 for a moment, I just note that here in Revelation 14, verse 6, where it says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Oh, praise the Lord. I believe that testimony has to go forth. I believe even at this point, yes, at this time that we're living in, that, oh, yes, that witness goes forth. The everlasting gospel that must be preached to all them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, with that message. Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Oh, praise the Lord. I believe that is upon us right now. Oh, and the need, oh yes, for all people to hear that witness, to be told the need to fear God and to give glory to him, for that hour of his judgment is come. Oh, how we need to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So going back here to Mark 13, verse 10 again said, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. But then he gives a little more detail here in verse 11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. And I think this is very helpful. The Lord is telling us that should they deliver us up, and we would be before a council, a jury, or whatever, all before a king even, oh, that we're not to worry, you could say, or premeditate about how it's going to sound, what's going to come out of our mouth, because we are assured that the Holy Ghost will speak through us and out of our mouths, so that what needs to be revealed, what needs to be mentioned, will come forth, that it will be given us in that hour, those words that we need to declare and say. Then Jesus goes on to tell us more. Verse 12, Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But very importantly, it says, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. You see, we are told to expect persecution. We are told that, you know, people aren't going to like us. In fact, he said that we should be hated of all men for his name's sake. But regardless of such, we are told that it is essential that we would continue, that we would endure until the end. Oh, yes, to be resolute, to be very determined, no matter what happens, no matter what trial, what test, what persecution, that we endure, that we keep the Lord Jesus in our hearts, that we not give in to what they may want us to give in to, but that we would endure until the end, that we would keep the faith until the end, that we would stand until the end, it being very necessary in order for us to be saved. Amen. Amen. So here we have these definite indicators that, you know, conditions that could be a trial, a test for the people of God, things that could be expected. You know, if we are persecuted for the name of the Lord Jesus, we're not to think of it as being extraordinary, you know, something out of the ordinary, you know, is something not to be expected. But indeed, here we're told that, you know, it easily could happen if we're truly living for the Lord. Amen. But then, the next few verses are going to deal with the abomination of desolation. And this was something that has already happened. And this was the referral to not one stone being left upon another. And anyway, you know, we'll see, you know, how Jesus presented this here. And thank God he did it, because those that heard this were going to be tried and tested, many of them. And it was very important that they have this understanding so that they would know how to react when it came to pass. Verse 14 tells us, but when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created until this time, neither shall be. So here he's talking about this period, and Daniel the prophet spoke of it, I believe. We can find that in Daniel the 12th chapter. And, you know, of course, real understanding doesn't come until the things developed. But so it was. 70 AD, we know that the Romans circled Jerusalem. And, oh my, there was quite the army that circled that city. And, of course, you know, many people didn't understand what it was all about. But those that knew what Jesus had said had understanding. And so it was, Titus and his men were around Jerusalem. But after a period, they left. And it was an indicator to the Christians that they needed to get out, that this was what Jesus had indicated here in this 13th chapter of the book of Mark, and also, of course, in Matthew 24, and also in Luke, the 21st chapter. So because they had this insight, they knew what they needed to do. It was an amazing thing. Here, the Roman army was around the city, and for a time, there was no way to get through. But suddenly, they left. And the Christians knew that it was time for them to flee, to go to the mountains. They knew that they had to do it quickly. You know, they weren't to go back and gather a whole bunch of belongings in order to go to the mountains. But they needed to respond quickly because they just had a short window of time to go forth and do what they needed to do to get out of that city. And we know from what history has indicated that there were a great deal of Christians that got out of Jerusalem at that point. They fled to the mountains where there was a place of safety and refuge for them, where they were sustained for the necessary time. And after they got out, we know that the Romans returned back to Jerusalem. And this time they just didn't, you know, walk around the surface of the city. They went inside that city and it was completely demolished. There was great destruction. There was terrible death. The temple was taken apart just as Jesus had said, stone upon stone. So there was nothing that remained by the time they were done. Oh, they plundered greatly. Oh, they were going to be paid for what they could take out, what they could remove. And so, oh yes, they did everything to remove everything of value. And that temple, which had been so outstanding, so beautiful, such a marvel, was completely taken down. It was destroyed. And those that remained in Jerusalem were greatly slaughtered, murdered. Oh, yes, the Romans were ruthless. And oh, they came in and did their evil deeds. But it was in fulfillment to Scripture. And it was that which pertained. But thank God the Christians had insight because Jesus had given them the where-how, the know-how to know what they needed to do when they began to see this come to pass. And praise the Lord, those that were aware of this got out of there and they were delivered. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, they were rescued. Thank the Lord Jesus. It's so wonderful to have God's word because, you know, we have wonderful instructions pertaining to our time in history, the end of the world. And yes, you know, if verse 19 pertains to this abomination of desolation, well, then we know that we are told that this was a horrendous time. And in fact, it was so great, the affliction was so great at that point that God had said that there would not be another time to that extent where the affliction would be to that extent as it was in 70 AD when the Romans came in and destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple. So my, you know, that's a quite reassuring too, because here we are and there's a lot to anticipate as we see the end time unfolding before our eyes. But what I gather about the end times is the coming of our Lord and Savior is going to be quickly. It's going to come suddenly, unannounced, as a thief in the night. It's going to take so many unaware. And because of that, it's going to be extremely needful that we be prepared, not just because we see an army coming in, but because we know at some point our Lord, our Savior, is going to return to this earth. And when he comes, he's going to come to judge this earth in righteousness. And there's not going to be anything to compare to these moments. Oh, we're going to need to be ready to be, oh yes, full of the Holy Ghost, to have our lamps trimmed and burning, oh, to be very watchful, because, oh, he is going to come. It's not going to be with a great announcement, you know, it's not going to be in the papers, we're not going to be broadcasting it before it happens over the air so everybody can, you know, make way and get ready. No, he's going to come as a thief in the night. Oh, as it tells us in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's going to come as a thief. It's going to be without a great announcement. It's going to be at a time when, you know, it'll be considered a time of peace and safety. So, you know, a lot of people are not going to be thinking that the Lord is going to be coming at that moment. Oh my, it's going to be as a snare to those that dwell upon the face of the earth. Oh, how important it is to be watching, to be waiting, to be ready. Jesus stressed that point so greatly. And it tells us in verse 20 here in Mark, the 13th chapter, and except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days. Oh, praise the Lord, and I believe he made a way of escape for those that were in Jerusalem in 70 AD. And praise the Lord, he's going to make a way for his people when he comes as a thief in the night, when he comes to judge this world in righteousness. Oh, when he comes, oh yes, the great day of the Lord, the terrible day of the Lord in many ways, in many respects, as it often is called. So, you know, he goes on. He has told us verses 13 down about the time when Jerusalem would be overtaken by the Romans. that which relates to the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. He spoke that so that they would have understanding. But he goes on now to tell more, which would relate to the end of the world. Because, yes, that was another need for them to understand, not only when the temple would be destroyed, but when our Lord and Savior would come as a thief in the night. Amen. So he goes on to give us more insight here, because there's a long period of time. There's a long period of waiting. And, oh, there are definitely things that we needed to know here. So here he's given us factors that we definitely need to regard and listen to. It tells us in verse 21, "And then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'Lo, he is there,' believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." Well, I'm going to just briefly read a little bit here from Matthew 24. It tells us in this regard here. Verse 23 here in Matthew 24. It reads, "Then if any man shall say unto you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now this relates to us. And oh my, how we need to give heed here. You know, he's telling about, you know, many that would come forth and say, "Lo, here is Christ." But we're told very clearly here, don't you believe it? Believe it not. And he tells us there's going to be a lot of false Christs. There's going to be a lot of false prophets. And they're going to, you know, have signs and wonders that they display. In fact, it might be so convincing that he says, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, God's children, if it were possible. He goes on to say in verse 25 here in Matthew 24, "Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be." Oh yes, he's going to come from the sky. Yes, he's going to come forth as lightning would come out of the sky, shining even from the east unto the west. And if they tell us, oh my, the Messiah is here, come see him. He's in the desert. Come see him. Here he is. Or behold, he's in the secret chambers. Oh, we're very clearly told here to believe it not. Oh, we must listen here. These are our instructions for such a time as this. Things that we need to know, indicators. Yes, back here in Mark the 13th chapter, as it reads in verse 22, "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." Oh, we don't want to be seduced. We don't want to be won over. We don't want to, you know, perceive something that is false, to be enticed or beguiled into some kind of thought or position or condition and state to, you know, believe something that is utterly untrue. So thank God we have these words. And it tells us in verse 23, "But take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. See, when it all is fulfilled, suddenly there'll be that moment that our Lord and Savior comes. And you know, I believe this is all going to be very closely following the sun darkened and the moon not giving its light, the stars of heaven falling, and all of that, the powers that are in heaven shaken. And just as I believe it happens, we're going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great glory, with great power. With great power and glory, as it tells us here. And oh my, that's the moment that we've been waiting for. That's the thing that will be so obvious. All at once, it's going to be beholden by all those that dwell upon the earth. In Luke, the 21st chapter, it tells us that men's heart will be failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And it tells us in Matthew, the 24th chapter, in verse 30, this same instance, it tells us, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Obviously, it's the time of the resurrection of the dead. And of course, we know that those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, this moment when it all comes to pass very suddenly. Praise the Lord. And yes, that realization, you've got, oh yes, even the tribes of the earth mourning when they suddenly have understanding that Jesus Christ, the one that was crucified, oh, the one that many have rejected, oh, has returned. And there he is. He's coming in the clouds. He's coming in the clouds of heaven with great power, with great glory. And oh my, every eye is going to see him at that moment. What a moment that's going to be as it happens, just as it's been foretold. And oh yes, as he's coming, it tells us in verse 27, and then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. You see how it all happens. It's all very closely following. You know, he's coming and there's angels gathering together his people from all ends of the earth, obviously. Even from the uttermost part of heaven, all of this coming together at the same time. Amen, as our Lord Jesus returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, he gave his disciples a little bit of a glimpse of what it's going to be like. Oh, yes, when they were with him in the Holy Mount, they saw him as he was transformed before their very eyes. You know, there at the time of transfiguration, as it's called, all at once they saw him as he's coming back with power and with great glory. They were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Oh, it tells us in 2 Peter, the first chapter, Verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For you received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Oh, they were getting a glimpse of Jesus Christ coming back. Oh, yes, transfigured as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and majesty and in great strength with great power, with great glory. Praise the Lord at that moment. Praise the Lord when he gathers his children together, when he comes in the clouds. Praise the Lord to receive his people and to judge this world in righteousness. As Mark 13 continues, Jesus told a parable here. Verse 28 tells us, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the door. Oh yes, these indicators, these things that we're seeing even coming to pass at this moment. Oh, it tells us just like, you know, we can tell when summer is coming forth. Oh yes, everything dies back in the winter here. And all at once, as spring comes forth and we begin to see the buds coming forth on the trees, life coming back into those parts of his creation that look dead, all the vegetation all at once coming forth, and the leaves coming forth, we know that summer is forthcoming. Jesus said, so ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Verse 30 tells us, verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Then he tells us in verse 32, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Oh, yes. How important this is. Jesus gave great emphasis to the need for us to take heed, to be very aware. He told us we're not going to know specifically what the day is, what the hour will be. But there is a great need that we would be ready, that we would be watching, that we would be praying, that our lamps would be full of oil. Praise the Lord, that they would be trimmed, that they would be burning. Oh yes, that light would not have gone out in our hearts and in our lives. Because yes, it's as a man who took a journey to a far place. He left his house and he gave authority to his servants and he told everyone his work. He commanded the porter to watch. And so it is. After 3.5 years of ministry, Jesus Christ was taken into the heavens. But he sent back the gift of the Holy Ghost so that he might dwell in his people. Oh yes, so he might have a people that would go forth and do his work. And he has given authority to his people, his servants. He has given us all a work, something that we can do, our part. In particular, that he has assigned us as individuals. And so, here we are. We are waiting for our master to come back. It is as he took a far journey. But he told us that he would indeed be returning. Oh yes, he said in John, the 14th chapter, he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Oh, yes. When he ascended, we're told in the first chapter of the book of Acts, those that were gazing up into heaven, oh, as they watched Jesus ascend into the heavens, oh, yes. Oh, there were those men in white apparel, those angels, oh, that came by and stood by those that were watching. And they said in verse 11 of Acts, the first chapter, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Oh, praise the Lord. That's the message. But oh my, he commissioned his people. He told them before he ascended, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both at Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth." Oh yes, he commissioned his people. Yes, he told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." But we were given a job to do. We were commissioned as his children. Oh yes, he left. But he also promised that he would return. And yes, he gave us authority to go forth and do his will, to complete his work. Oh, yes, to be barriers of the gospel. Oh, yes, to carry forth his work. And he commanded the porter to watch. The porter is one that would be a doorkeeper or a gatekeeper, a guard, in other words. And you know, as we stand by, we all are told that we need to give heed, that we need to watch, that we need to pray. We don't know when the time is. We don't know the hour that our master is going to return. He said it could be at even, it could be at midnight, it could be at the cock crowing, or it could be in the morning. But regardless of when it is, we don't want to be caught off guard. Oh, we don't want to have a condition where there's no oil in our lamps. Oh my, because it tells us, "Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping." Oh, we don't want to be taking a break at that moment. We don't want to be cold. We don't want to be lukewarm, warm. We want to be doing our Father's will. We want to be occupying. And as he ended this chapter, he said, "And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, watch." Oh my, there is a need. It's so easy to get indifferent. It's so easy to let the world take over. Oh my, you know, it doesn't take much to, you know, consider other things and you know, get so busy in our doing that we forget those things that are of utmost importance. Oh, how we need to give heed. Romans, the 13th chapter, it tells us in verse 11, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Oh yes, how important it is. Here we are. At this late time, we're seeing all these signs, these indicators that the coming of the Lord is at hand. And if it ever was high time to awake out of sleep, it is high time right now. It is time to take serving the Lord seriously. It's time to lay aside all the sin, all the weights, all the things that would easily beset us, to run with patience the race that is set before us. Oh my, we don't, you know, want to be found in rioting, loose living, and all that sort of thing, in drunkenness, not in chambering, which is lustful indulgences, not in wantonness, unbridled lust, not in strife, oh strife, bitter conflicts. Often, you know, very malicious and you know, just, you know, even hatred and everything else that goes with strife and envying, all those things, bitterness of the heart that sometimes can work in individuals if we're not guarded. Oh my, we don't want to let down our guards at such a time as this, but there is a need that we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, "Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." We don't want to give the devil any room to go forth and do anything that would keep us from watching, from waiting, from not being ready for that moment when our Lord comes. Oh, it is so incumbent upon us to be ready. Oh yes, it is so true that the night is far spent, the day is at hand. It surely is time to cast off the works of darkness. Have that armor of light on, that armor of God, oh, so we can withstand the devil and all the things that he tries to do to hinder a people. All his wiles, all his cunnings, all his deceptions. Oh, it is so needful. We don't want to put off those things that are so necessary at such an hour as this. I know in some cases people have good intentions. I think most everybody probably has some good intentions. Sometimes, you know, it's like this, you know, I'm just really preoccupied right now. You know, I don't want to, you know, disturb things too greatly. But someday, I'm going to repent. I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to be baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, yeah, someday I'm going to get rid of, you know, that booze, you know, I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to the tavern and all of that, you know, stop watching those soap operas and all those sort of things and indulging and other, you know, things that are uncomely. All good intentions. But you know, we're told in Luke, the 21st chapter, verse 34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Oh, how we want to hear him say, well done. Oh, that great day of accounting is upon us. Oh, it is forthcoming. It's going to happen one of these days. He's going to come quickly. It's going to come as a thief in the night. So many are going to be off guard. So many are not going to be watching. So many are going to be seduced by all the evil spirits and all the signs and wonders that look good to the eye. But we are told, we are warned of the great necessity to watch. We don't know when the master of the house is going to return. We don't know if it's going to be an even or evening. It's going to be at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morn. But for sure, he's going to come. And lest coming suddenly, he would find us sleeping. Oh, we don't want to be found sleeping. We have moments right now to prepare, to get right, to get ready, to do those things that we have resolved to do, to prepare our hearts, to not put off the things that are necessary. Oh, yes, we need to be focused on the return of our Lord and Savior. He is going to come. And there's a reason that he told us again and again that need to watch ye therefore and pray always. I'm going to come. I'm going to return. And at that moment, it's going to be over. I'm going to come as a thief in the night. And how very important it's going to be that, oh, we would not be so busy with the cares of this life that we would not be indulging overly and in drunkenness on all the conditions of sin. But indeed, to be ready to do the things that are needful, to spend that time on our knees crying out to the Lord. If we ever were going to pray, we better pray now. If we're ever going to get ready, we better get ready now. If we're ever going to repent, we better do it now. And yes, if you haven't obeyed the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, you better do it now. You better do it now. He's going to come. Amen. He's looking for a people. He will have a people. Their lamps will be trimmed. They will be burning. There will be oil sufficient in their lamps. And we will not be sleeping. His people will be waiting for that moment when their Lord returns to this earth. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank God we have been given these words to give heed to and how we need to do it. Surely he will come and not tarry. And we are seeing the signs like never before. We have no guarantees. I don't know that there'll be another Wednesday. I don't know that there'll be a tomorrow. But one thing I know, there is a day when we all stand before our God and give an account of the things that we have done in this life. It's going to be worth everything, no matter how hard, how persecuted, how difficult. It's going to be so worth everything when we stand before the Lord and hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over little. I'm going to make you a ruler over much. Oh yes, enter into the joys of my Lord." Praise the Lord, it's going to be worth everything. I pray, oh my, that we would all give heed and that we would watch, that we would pray, for we know not the hour of our Lord's return. Amen. Praise our God. I pray that we are ready. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise our God, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Talk to our hearts and help us, Lord Jesus. For we could never do it except that thou would prompt us and cause us, oh Lord, to be stirred inside. Help us to be stirred. Oh God, help us to do what we need to do, to be right, to be waiting, to be watching on that day when you return. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're going to be singing in closing chorus in just a moment, but before we do that, we do have a prayer request. Penny requests prayer for Mackenzie regarding the pain in her body and for her to be able to sleep. So let's pray for Mackenzie. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer once again for Mackenzie. We ask, Lord, that thou would be merciful to her. We pray, Lord, that thou would be gracious. We ask, Lord, that thou would touch her. We pray, Lord, that thou would heal her. Relieve her pain completely, 100%. We pray, we ask for a complete healing. We pray, Lord, that thou would give her great strength. Give her the ability to do the things that she needs to do. Take away all her pain. And we pray, Lord, that she would be able to rest in thee and to sleep well. Touch her in a mighty way. Let thy presence be upon her. Let thy spirit be upon her, we ask, and strengthen her and heal her completely, we pray. For we know that by thy stripes we are healed, and we know that thou art able to do all things. So we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. We're going to turn to number 86 in the chorus book in closing. I'm going to work and watch and pray. Number 86. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve him every day. I'm gonna see his face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to his voice. I'm gonna make his will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet him in the morning. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve him every day. I'm gonna see his face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to his voice. I'm gonna make his will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet him in the morning. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve him every day. I'm gonna see his face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to his voice. I'm gonna make his will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet him in the morning. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve him every day. I'm gonna see his face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to his voice. I'm gonna make his will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet him in the morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.